You're listening to a Get Serial podcast.
As always, I'm joined by the lovely Bianca. How are you, Bianca?
I'm all right, thank you. I am feeling a little bit tired. It's been a bit of a busy week because we have some cool stuff later on. I don't know about you. I couldn't sleep. I was so excited regarding it.
Well, the good news is this show is going to wake you up because it is such a jam-packed, exciting show, if I do say so myself. To give you a little bit of a hint in what we're going to be talking about today, we might be talking about the kind of controversy going on with Madame Web. If you haven't heard about it before, we will go all into it for you. It is a very funny press tour, maybe my favourite press tour that's been happened in recent times. We'll be giving you the morning news that you need to know. We'll be having a lovely interview later on. You'll have to stay tuned to find out who it is. But safe to say, it will be a very hilarious way to start your Monday.
Definitely. I am hugely excited for it, but if you want to keep up to date with anything else that we're doing, you can check that one out on Get Serial Sin on Instagram. You can also check that one out on Get Serial Sin on TikTok, and also Get Serial Sin on anywhere where good podcasts can be found. So maybe Omni FM, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. And in case you missed it before, because I mixed up the mics there, you can hear us and check us out on our Instagram at Get Serial Sin. So definitely check that one out. But sometimes we are aware things get a little heavy. So if you or someone you know may need someone to talk to, there are helplines available. Annabelle, have you got those ones at the ready?
I do. So we have Beyond Blue, which you can reach at 1300 224 636. You can phone the Kids Helpline at 1800 55 1800. And if you'd like to talk to the QLife Helpline, you can find them at 1800 184 527. So please don't be afraid to phone any of those resources. They're really incredible. And, you know, it's good to have a chat from time to time.
Definitely. If you need it, check it out, seriously. But with that, we're going to dive into our first song for tonight. And you know what? If you stick around a little bit further down, you'll hear some wonderful, wonderful tunes. But that may be a little bit of a hint as to our first song, which is Further Down by Mama Ganoush. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin.
Make It Right by Mannerism, an indie dream pop band hailing from Melbourne suburbia. Ooh. And their new single, Make It Right, launched Friday, March 1st. So that is a very new song, fresh off the press for you. Before that, you heard Further Down by Melbourne out-rock band Mama Ganoush. And look, we're all about getting straight into the week, but you can't go into the week without being well informed.
Definitely.
So if you've missed headlines, you've relaxed this weekend.
Fair enough.
We'll catch you up to speed. Exactly. We're back to work now. Back to learning about the world.
Sorry, guys. We're bringing bad.
Fun's over. From now on, just news. But look, in the first headline of today, TGA, the Therapeutic Goods Administration, has approved a new drug for endometriosis treatment, a first in 13 years. So for those who don't know, endometriosis is a chronic disease that affects 1 in 7 people with uteruses. Tissue similar to the womb grows outside of the womb and can cause severe pain alongside a myriad of other issues. So it's really great news that this new treatment has been approved. It's a first in the past 13 years. It is just for pain management. It doesn't actually help the root cause of the condition, but it is a big win. Endometriosis Australia has really welcomed this approval, but they are worried about the costs it will bring to patients because at this point it hasn't been approved to be part of the PBS scheme where it's subsidised. But we'll find out in March whether it does get that stamp.
Yeah, definitely. Small steps. We've got it on the market. Hopefully it's affordable on the market soon. Moving on from that, 4 teens have been charged over links to a Victorian arson attack, or set of attacks even. The teens aged from 14 to 16 were charged on Friday last week after an alleged arson attack on a tobacconist shop and restaurant in Mill Park and Ballarat last week. The teens have been charged with various crimes from aggravated burglary, theft of a motor vehicle, possessing prohibited weapons, and criminal damage by fire and other accounts. Man, when I was 16, I was playing Mario Party and I was like, wow, this is cool.
I feel like teenagers these days are built different. These teens have been built different. But, look, you know, I hope that, you know, this sets them on a better path.
Definitely.
And, you know, I'm going to take a hot stance here. No pun intended. No more arson, please.
Yeah, but that with that.
Look, in very sad news, on March 1st, which was this Friday, fashion icon Iris Apfel has passed away, aged 102. And look, Iris Apfel was the coolest woman on this entire earth. You cannot convince me otherwise. If you don't know much about Iris, first of all, where have you been? Second of all, she led an incredible life. She never retired. She said it was a fate worse than death. Instead, she worked on design projects with Greta Garbo. She redid the White House over 9 presidencies. She got her first taste of fame, like real fame, at age 80. She's had the Museum of Modern Art make museum exhibitions about her. And she got her first beauty deal at age 101. So Iris led an incredible life. And yeah, it's really worth reading up about what she did because she's had an incredible career.
Definitely. Moving on from there, in one that is very funny to me, Elon Musk is suing OpenAI CEO Sam Altman for allegedly, quote-unquote, perverting mission for profit. So the billionaire and, let's be real, scumbag, Elon Musk is suing artificial intelligence company OpenAI, which he helped create and has donated to, accusing it of putting profits ahead of its founding aims and benefiting humanity.
Of benefiting, I should say. He's not accusing them of helping humanity, for which he's suing them. He's not on that track just yet.
You might as well pay at this point. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman has reportedly told his staff that the attacks, quote unquote, will keep coming. So in terms of what could be next, a courtroom fight could see more information made public. But legal experts even say that Mr. Musk's case may not hold up under scrutiny. And I don't think he has the history, let's say, to back that one up. His work on Twitter, for example, is just one example. And look, if you look further into how he got rich, he's probably not the person to be talking about benefiting humanity.
But look, in very different news, if you are one of the people who are based between Wallen to Warburton, congratulations, because you are drinking the best tasting tap water in Victoria. So Yarra Valley Water has won first place for the best tap water in Victoria last Wednesday, with judges testing all the water samples for colour, odour and taste. It's a competition I never knew that we even had, but it's very exciting for Yarra Valley Water and its 2 million consumers because they will now be heading to nationals in November, where they will compete to see who will represent Australia at the international, I'm summarising the name, the international Best Tap Water Competition that's being hosted in the US. So,
what?
There you go. If you drink Yarra Valley Water, that's your new flex of the morning.
I have our interview that I want for this rest of the year. I want to get someone from this board down to tell us about all the tastes of tap water and how, like, yes, tap water has taste. There is very bad tap water. There is very good tap water. But I want to know how someone gets into that industry.
There are water sommeliers. We'll find one. We'll bring them on.
We'll find one. Moving on from that, in honestly fantastic news, the Young Matildas player Grace Wilson has become the first professional Australian footballer, soccer footballer, to come out as non-binary. The Adelaide United Young Matildas player Grace Wilson has been hailed for their bravery after becoming the first professional soccer player footballer in Australia to come out as non-binary. The goalkeeper shared that they are non-binary on Friday amid widespread support from teammates, management and staff at the A-League Women's Club. She said, and I quote, they said even, and I quote, "This was the first step in my journey, but I had a phenomenal reaction," Wilson said. "The girls were lovely about it, and I got a hug from every player as soon as I said it. Cheers and applause. It was this lovely thing. I felt so comfortable and supported. It was probably one of the best feelings." Big applause towards Grace. You did a great job, and I would love to see how well they do in the future, because that's huge. I didn't realise they were the first ones. I thought there were a couple.
It's really exciting, and it's a very brave thing to be the first person.
Oh, definitely.
So
there are still Australian sports that are scared of having anything LGBT, so it's a great step, and I'm very proud of it.
And I will say, I'm really glad to hear how everyone supported Grace on their journey. And, you know, sounded like that was their love language to come forward. give them some hugs, give them support, which is very important. And speaking of love language, we have got Melbourne R&B pop artist CD with their latest song, Love Language. That was Trip Steady by John Glacier, an incredible Hackney-based producer, rapper, singer. Born to Jamaican parents, she's the second eldest of seven siblings.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. It's a wonder she finds time to make music, because I'd just be like writing down birthdays 24/7.
I'd be forgetting names at that point.
Before that, you heard Love Language by CD. Both songs you can find on our Sweet 16 playlist. And correct me if I'm wrong, Bianca, Sweet 16 is about to come back every
Yes, it is.
Every Sunday, 5 p.m.
So, the Sweet 16 hasn't technically gone anywhere, but the Sunday Sweets show did disappear for a little while, and it is back this Sunday, where you can check it out on sin.org.au, or of course 90.7 FM, where you're listening right now. And you can check that out at 5 p.m. on Sunday, where you can hear the new best songs in the world. We know they're the best. We chose them. Well, we didn't choose them. The wonderful folks on the Sunday Sweets did. So check it out. Give them a listen. Tell them we said hi, and who knows, you may just hear your new favourite song. But yeah, we're going to kind of dive into, I guess, what else you could do this week. You can obviously make time for Sweet 16. Seriously. But if you have extra time, maybe you could go do one of these wonderful things.
Well, aside from listening to the Sweet 16 and tuning in every Monday and Friday from 8 to 10 a.m. on Get Serial, you should be going to the Europa Europa Film Festival, which is back. It's very exciting. It's actually been back since the 15th of February, but it's only running until the 11th of March.
Yeah, don't
miss
out.
If you haven't headed in yet, go check it out. It is back with a hand-picked selection of entertaining, heartfelt, thought-provoking films from compelling storytellers, I should say, and new cinematic voices. It's the third time that it's coming back to Melbourne to inspire all the audiences with the best films coming out of Europe.
Definitely check that one out. Speaking of inspiring audiences, we have Wicked, which is on right now, from March onwards, in the Regent Theatre. So if you don't know what Wicked is, how do I describe Wicked?
It's so good.
If you've seen The Wizard of Oz, it's that, but musical, and really, 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 really good. Go check it out. It is fantastic. I'm not really going to spoil anything, but I'm going to let you know that it is the winner of over 100 major awards, and it is a show you wouldn't want to miss. And you know, fun fact, I actually went to high school and was friends with, in drama class of all things, with an actor who is now a part of that show. So a little small world hint there, but definitely check that one out.
It's such a good show. And I will just say that Wicked is the show that made me seriously consider if I wanted to be a set designer.
Ooh.
Their set is so cool. I haven't seen the set here. I'm sure it'll be similar to the one in London. It's so good. Everyone go see Wicked. It is very wicked.
The Regent Theatre, it's just gorgeous anyway.
Oh, it's so beautiful. But if you want to get, you know, let's get into more plays.
Ooh.
Much Ado About Nothing is running at the Royal Botanic Gardens until the 17th of March. So you might think that you've known and seen Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing before, but I promise you that you've never seen it like this. So enjoy Shakespeare under the stars as you watch Glenn Elston's take on the classic play. It'll be drawing on pop music, rock imagery, pantomime, and sitcom to make a version of the play like no other.
Definitely check that one out. But we do also have, you know, if you're down at Rotolava, which I think everyone should be down there between the 4th and the 6th, because Fred Again is playing.
Again?
Fred Again. Yeah, again. And they'll be playing multiple nights, so definitely check that one out. They are fantastic. Definitely check out one of their three concerts being held at Rotolava. Starts tonight and ends on the 6th. So do try your best to grab a ticket, because
I think they might have been grabbed by now. You might be one of the lucky few who's
had to grab one. Keep trying. You never know.
I will say, I got tickets to Taylor Swift 2 hours before the show, so there is hope.
Yeah,
there is
definitely
always hope
keep
to get
looking.
A ticket.
But
we've got something else that's really exciting. Back for its 70th year is Mumba. Mumba is, you know, it's getting up there in age. It's got the pension discount by now. So it's running the 7th to the 11th of March. It's Australia's largest free community festival, and you can catch the iconic Birdman Rally, play carnival games, enjoy musical performances, maybe grab a taco or a pad thai from one of the food trucks. It is such a fun way to celebrate the weekend. And, you know, head down there. I will see you there.
The Birdman Rally itself, I adore it. It's so much fun every year. But moving on from that, if you are a bit of a sports fan, there's some wonderful news for you this week. The Melbourne Melbourne Storm versus Panthers is happening on the 8th of March at Amy Park. So go check that one out. Tickets are available at the moment. It does start at 8:05 at Amy Park. Go check it out. It is round one of the NRL Premiership season. It's always good to get in at the start of the year because, look, I'm a sports fan. I can tell you right now, your favourite player may not make it to round two sometimes. So definitely check it out before you miss out on your favourite player.
Definitely. And, you know, if you're thinking, I'm not so into sports, I'd rather something a bit more leisurely, go check out the Ballarat Begonia Festival running from the 9th to the 11th of March. So, look, we've got a long weekend coming up. I believe it's Labor Weekend. So maybe you want to go on a little road trip. Go to Ballarat, check out the free festival where they'll be showcasing all kinds of rare begonias, including a brand new type called Begonia George Longley. And outside of the begonias, there'll be food, there'll be drinks, workshops, cooking demonstrations, and live performances. So it's a really fun way to kind of brighten up your weekend.
Why aren't you there already? Let's be real. But one last thing that I'll hype up. We don't have explicit dates or times for this, but the footy season is back on Thursday. We are, for this one, live in New South Wales, not Victoria, with only a couple games. So do keep that in mind. But I promise you, pubs around the area will be playing the games and they will be filled to the brim with people who have missed the game and want to get back into it for what looks like a very exciting season. So go check that one out. You can catch Sydney, Melbourne, Gold Coast, Richmond, and a whole bunch of other games, including Collingwood GWS and some more. Check it out. It is going to be fun. But with that, we're going to dive into our next wonderful song. And you know what? This is a song that I chose and I thought, you know, we have to put in there. It is a wonderful little song from a wonderful little indie game. It is A Fertile Wood at Heart by the ever so wonderful James Currier and Ryan Bourbon, and it is from the 2021 action-adventure comedy game Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion. And, you know, if you thought, wow, that's a funny name, it is. It's quite funny, a game. Go check out the sequel as well, which is Turnip Boy Robs a Bank.
He's a busy man.
He's a very busy little dude. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. Oh My God by Faye Wildhagen, a wonderful Norwegian singer-songwriter. And check her out because she just dropped a brand new album, Let's Keep It in the Family, that dropped on the 16th of Feb. Go check it out on your favourite streaming platform. You can also check out Fertile Wood at Heart by James Currier and Ryan Bourbon, which you heard before, a little wonderful song about Turnip Boy who does not want to pay his taxes. Which, fair enough. But definitely check that one out. If you do want to play that and you're thinking, wow, I don't really want to invest in it, just straight up, if you've got a partner with Xbox Game Pass, the sequel, Turnip Boy Robs a Bank, this little boy's doing a lot of crime, is actually on Game Pass and is essentially free at the moment. So go check that one out if you're interested. But we're going to talk about something that,
It's a lot.
It's not a lot of good.
Well, look, you said that Turnip Boy didn't want to, you know, pay his taxes. Dakota Johnson does not want to play Madame Web. That's what I'm getting out of the latest press tour for Madame Web, the newest Sony Cinematic Universe release. Have you heard anything about this film, Bianca?
I have been keeping an eye on the, I guess, the negative press. I love the negativity behind it. Because everything I'm seeing is hilarious, and it genuinely looks like she might have been lied to during auditions.
I don't know. I get the changes. I get the sense, which we'll go into, that things just changed a lot from when Dakota signed on. We're on a first name basis, me and Dakota. We're besties in my mind. But when she signed on, things looked very different to how they turned out from some of the quotes that I've got here. But it's been interesting. So, look, we're going to talk a bit more about the press tour, but, you know, to give you a sense of how the movie has been received, here are some quotes that I've pulled from The Guardian. Things are already laughing. We've got dumb and schlokey, an unholy mess, and my favourite quote, a janky ripoff made by people afraid of legal action. That's just one article. But overall, the consensus is not the best film that's ever been made, which Dakota would agree with. It actually had the lowest grossing opening weekend of any Spider-Man adjacent movie in the 21st century. And look, Dakota Johnson is the biggest naysayer herself, which Dakota to me is the female counterpart of Robert Pattinson. They say whatever they want. I love them both. This is a compliment in every sense. They say whatever they want. Sometimes they just knowingly acknowledge they just lie just for fun because they get bored.
Yeah, why not?
I would do the same. And they're just so, like, they're not afraid to just say whatever they want. I think that PR teams are afraid of them. I love them both. But this is a recent quote that Dakota said about her film. When asked, you know, did she enjoy watching it? She said, "I probably won't, as in won't see the film. I don't know when I'll see it. Someday, maybe." At one point, an interviewer asked her about the scene in which her character, Madame Webb, dies for 3 minutes, to which she did not remember this happening at all, and said, "She does? I don't know. You've seen the movie. You could be right. You know more about it than I do." So, look, she's not the biggest fan. She has not checked it out. And there's been a lot more coming out of this press release. Have you seen her behaviour online?
I haven't kept too much of a look on her behaviour, but I do know that the initial, like, I guess the initial everything behind it, before it even released, was looking really, really bad, especially the fact that all three main actresses had actually posted on their Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, saying, like, "Hey, I'm so happy to be part of the MCU. This movie is not a part of the MCU."
Yes.
This is not the first time that a Sony Marvel movie, which is a completely different, like, universe, has caused that issue. It did so with Morbius, and it's done so with another movie that I've forgotten the name of off the top of my head. It seems like they wanted to be a part of, you know, the Avengers, MCU, get to hang around with Spider-Man, which Spider-Man doesn't exist in this one. It's a Spider-Man adjacent film that doesn't have Spider-Man.
It's really confusing. I actually watched a really interesting video about it. I'll try to think. I think it was by Austin McConnell. I could be wrong. If it is, I'll find out what it was called. I'll tell you later. But it was talking about the whole reason that Spider-Man is not in this film. So the fact that Sony clearly wants it in the Spider-Man universe is basically, so Sony has leased out Spider-Man to Marvel. So Marvel can make films and they can kind of have this bridging, you know, Spider-Man's in the Marvel universe, but also belongs to Sony.
Yeah.
Sony has to make films about the Spider-Man universe, I believe, every 5 years to retain the rights to Spider-Man.
Yep.
And they have to make, you know, the other characters in the world. The problem is that Spider-Man is much better received in Marvel. And in Austin's opinion, which I think could be right, Sony doesn't know how they want to kind of incorporate Spider-Man into their universe because the Marvel version of him has been so good that they need to be really careful about how they're portraying him because Sony and Marvel have different viewpoints on how
exactly
they want him.
And so that's why they're too afraid to do it. Spider-Man's kind of competing with each other because they've already got Into the Spider-Verse, which, wonderful franchise, wonderful set of movies. That's competing with, like, the Tom Holland Spider-Mans. That's already difficult. When you add, and I'll be as frank as I can, when you add another white boy that looks the same and dresses the same in that minefield, it's going to cause confusion. Tom Holland and Andrew Garfield, they look different, but they're not that different.
Same. But no.
It's the white superhero man.
It is interesting, and I like it as well, because Sony is kind of, I think, gives me, like, little brother or little sister sibling syndrome. They're trying to be like, "See, we're the Marvel Spider-Man, that's us." So they actually had an end scene, apparently, where Morbius, I think, or a villain, sorry, from the Morbius film, ends up in the Marvel universe. And then at the end of a Marvel film, the cutscene was them, like, immediately killing this villain who showed up to be like, "Nope, Sony people are not showing up in our films. Please don't do that.
They did that with Venom, which is the best received
one.
He appeared. So when they did the whole crossover movie, he moved over to the MCU, you know, where Iron Man are and everything like that. And he was in there for, like, a post-credit scene for one movie before being put back and then being put back again.
It's funny to me.
It's confusing. Like, even as someone, I love comics. I love that universe. It's confusing. It's, like, it's needlessly done. Madame Web, for example, that character is not meant to be, like, a super swinging spider woman.
Isn't she, like, 80 years old?
Yeah, she is an old woman who sits in a chair and looks around and, quite frankly, is a nothing character in all comics. But they just changed who she is. And I don't know. It feels like Sony is doing it to keep the Spider-Man licensing because they know how popular Spider-Man is.
That's right. You can't lose the Spider-Man licensing. It's like, I can understand why they won't lose it, but...
Well, that's also the way they
makes bad films.
The way they've handed it off is really poor. One last note. They handed it off in a way where they keep some characters. Marvel gets other characters at the moment. They can use Spider-Man. As I said, they're not going to because it's going to compete and it's just going to lose them money and lose Marvel money. They have particular characters, but they have characters that nobody wants to do anything with and nobody knows. Marvel has the Green Goblin, Sandman. They have Vulture. They have all the characters that, like, everyone knows from those stories. That's why we're getting Madame Web, Morbius. Venom's the big character that Sony owns. And Venom's only so good. And Tom Hardy, I love him, but he can only carry so many movies. Like, it's getting a little bit of a stretch.
It is. It's been an interesting time. My final wrap-up is that Dakota Johnson did fire her representatives after this film came out. Could have been a coincidence. And has said that there were drastic changes in the script. She can't even tell you what they were.
If I was the writer of this, I would be out there wearing a brown paper bag on my head just to hide my shame. Here is Brown Paper Bag by Div.
Dive.
Dive, even. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. Thank God for Astrology is a wonderful song. It's the song you just heard. And before that, that song was by Meron Jean. And before that was Brown Paper Bag by Dive. Now, Dive is an American rock band from New York City, formed in 2011. And we'll give a quick plug to our interview with Saint Hill, because he said this band was his dream headliner. Definitely check him out. Check out that interview. You can check it out on sin.org.au. Actually, no, you can't check it out there. You can hear that song, though. Instead, if you want to hear the interview, you can check it out on our podcast platforms. Those are Get Serial Sin on literally anywhere where good podcasts can be found. I am slipping over my words a little bit here. Now, Annabelle has stepped out for just a minute, but I'm going to talk about really the damage, and continue this conversation we had about Madame Web, and the damage that these poor movies can really, really do to an entire area of film. So, Madame Web's poor reception reminds me a lot of the poor reception of Black Widow, which was a Marvel movie, led obviously by Scarlett Johansson. Those two movies were poorly written, poorly produced, and just, if I'm being quite frank, were poor. Unfortunately, and this is by no fault of any of the actors involved or any of the staff or anything like that, those movies have worked to help set back female-led movies, especially female-led superhero movies. And it is a shame, because what happens is these movies will get poor press. They'll end up being just poor movies, and it's not saying anything down on the female-led movies. There are plenty of wonderful female-led movies, especially superhero movies. Just look at Wonder Woman. That is one of the best superhero movies I've ever seen. Unfortunately, though, it is something that sets people back, and because producers and CEOs and execs, they all see the numbers. And that's all they see. They see the numbers, they see the responses. When these movies don't do well in box office and they don't get good reception, they think, oh, well, they don't want to see female-led superheroes. There's no interest in female superheroes, which is wrong. Just outright wrong. I can think of multiple superheroes who are female that I want to see more of. That is not a question. Look, one I'd love to see a spin-off for, and I think just an actual movie that is just hers, is Gwen Stacy. Obviously, if you've watched Into the Spider-Verse, or Across the Spider-Verse, Gwen Stacy is a fantastic character. I have been enjoying her. I genuinely love her. I would love to see her get her own film, live action or animated, whichever. Give her her own film, but write it well. Produce it the same way you would an Iron Man, a Thor. That doesn't mean that those movies are well written either, but unfortunately, they do tend to get kind of the almost an asterisk where even if it's a bad film, they'll get forgiven, which is a shame. And it is a shame that these movies do set people back. If you do see people complaining about them, please understand, like even we did before, please understand that this is not you know, down on any sort of actor or actress. Dakota Johnson, for example, is a fantastic actress. She has so, so much history in acting, and she has done incredible movies. Go check out her discography. This is not one she's proud of, and understandably so. But I will talk about a good movie, a very good movie, actually, that I saw on the weekend, which was Dune Part 2. No spoilers, I will avoid that, but I will say that it is a very long movie, so do be prepared. If you need to, grab a drink, grab a bottle of water, grab maybe some chips, some popcorn, something like that. Maybe get the really funny-looking popcorn bucket that goes with it, and sit down for what is going to be one of the best experiences you can have in a cinema this year so far. The movie is extremely well-paced. There is a lot, and I mean a lot, of religious symbolism that I don't know if it was in the original books. I've actually avoided reading them at the moment because I want to finish the film, I think it's trilogy, and then read them and see the differences. But I think that every actor and actress in it is incredible. Timothy Chalamet and Zendaya are the leads, and they do an incredible job. There are plenty of other actors in there that also genuinely carry this film in incredible ways, but visually, it is incredible. Sound design, I have never seen anything like that. I have been loving every moment of it. It is fantastic, so definitely check it out if you're interested. But look, if you want to check it out, I would suggest doing so. We're going to move into our next song, though, and it is a wonderful, wonderful song. It is The Snuts. Sorry, Gloria by The Snuts. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin.
Sin Media acknowledges and pays respects to the people of the Woiwurrung and Boonwurrung language groups of the Eastern Kulin Nations, on whose unceded lands the Sin office and studios stand. We respectfully acknowledge their ancestors and elders, past, present and emerging. We extend this respect to the traditional custodians of the lands and waters where Sin content is produced, where Sin content reaches, and on which Sin partner organisations stand. Sovereignty has never been ceded, and no treaty has ever been signed. Always was, and always will be, Aboriginal land.
You just heard two incredible songs. They were the ever-so-wonderful All On Me by Tyne James Organ, who is a New South Wales singer-songwriter who has lived in Melbourne, and All On Me is his forthcoming album. And I've got to say, Annabelle, I have been absolutely addicted to that song recently. It is so good.
It's such a good song. If you check out the music video, he's such a great dancer.
He's having such a good
fun. I'm dancing with him, not well, but check out the music video. Check out the album coming out. He's been great. And who were we listening to before that?
Before that was Gloria by The Snuts, who are a Scottish indie rock band formed in 2015. And their latest album, Millennials, only released on the 23rd of Feb. So it's brand new. Go check it out. You can brag to your friends, say, I heard these guys. Well, I'm not going to say before they got big, because they're pretty big now, but, you know, you can brag and say, I heard these guys first. But we do have some pretty exciting stuff. In fact, we're not alone at the moment. We have some pretty cool guests in. Guys, do you want to introduce yourselves? Give us a little bit of a hint as to what we can expect in the next little talking point.
Yes, hello. My name is Dylan McBurney. I'm a comedy producer presenting Pilot at this year's Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Ooh.
Hi, my name's Marley. I'm a comedian and I'll be doing some talking at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Definitely stick around for that one. It's going to be heaps of fun. If you want to keep up to date with anything else we're doing, we can check us out on Get Serial Sin on Instagram. You can also check us out on TikTok, where we do post from time to time. It is hard to do, though. After that, you can also check out any sort of episodes you may have missed on our podcast platforms, OmniFM, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts, literally anywhere else where good podcasts can be found. But we are aware that sometimes things do get difficult, and you may need someone to talk to. We have helplines available for you if you need those ones.
Definitely. You can reach out to Beyond Blue at 1300 224 636. The Kids Helpline is available at 1800 55 1800, and the Q Life Helpline is available at 1800 184 527. So all incredible resources, definitely worth reaching out to them if you ever just need or want to chat, and look after yourself and look after others.
Definitely. There's never any shame in doing that. But with that, we're going to dive into our next song. And in fact, we're going to go for a bit of a flight all the way to Perth for this alt indie pop band. It is Born in the Wrong Time by Joan and the Giants. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin.
That was Cup of Tea by Crocodilus, who are four mates from Sydney who've just released that song on Wednesday, the 28th of Feb. They're actually playing at the ESPY on March 14th. So if you like that song and you want to check out more of their stuff, definitely head down there. And before that, you heard Born in the Wrong Time by the alt indie pop band from Perth, Joan and the Giants. But I am really excited today to welcome in two rising stars in the comedy world. So here to talk about their new show Pilot, part of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival lineup this year, please welcome the hilarious comedian Marley Hawk and the formidable comedy producer Dylan McBurney. Welcome in, everyone.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to be here, yeah.
Beautiful. Can you first tell us a little bit about yourselves so we can kind of get to know you both before we hop into the interview?
Well, I'm a stage manager and comedy producer. During the day, I work in the disability sector, but out of my hours, I always like to stay busy. So, we're putting on a show called Pilot, which I produced my first show last year, and with two great comedians, Louis Prandolini and Ethan Gallagher, that were, you know, funding their own show. And I was on the tram to a show one night, and I thought, well, like, not everyone can make that investment. Like, where do you go from a 5-minute set in a comedy festival show to getting to put on long form work? So, yeah, I mean, I'll talk a bit about it later, but Ethan Gallagher and I have teamed up and we are bringing a show to the comedy festival this year.
That's really exciting. And one of the comedians performing is Marley. Marley, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, my name's Marley. I've been doing comedy for like 4 years now. And this is my first solo show in the festival. It's a split bill show, but this is the first time it's like an extended set in the comedy festival. And before that, I did Class Clowns. I hosted a show for about a year at Art Centre Melbourne called Up Next. And I did a sort of trial run show outside of the festival last year. And just I'm really excited to be given the opportunity to take this into something that is as big as the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Yeah,
it's definitely really exciting, but we have a very hard-hitting question to start you off. This is very stressful, a lot of pressure. What is your favourite breakfast item, given that we are Get Cereal?
Lately, I've been really into yogurt and usually like Greek yogurt.
I like a very healthy one. That's a good option.
Yeah, and I find it like I don't get sick of it. I can eat it every morning. I like a consistent breakfast.
Same thing every morning. Yeah. No surprises. Beautiful. Marley, what's your go-to breakfast?
I'm a Nutella on toast kind of person, but often I just skip breakfast, not by choice, just by forgetfulness. So, yeah.
Can't stand for that and Get Cereal. Breakfast is the most important meal of your day, and this is the most important show of your day. I will say, not to brag, but like we want to get into talking about Pilot now. You've given us a little bit of a hint towards your inspiration behind the show, but what's it been like co-producing Pilot?
It's been a learning process, definitely. We have five comedians that we're producing, and the team is myself, my co-producer, Ethan Gallagher, and we have a kind of marketer, graphic designer, Hannah DeBurr, and they're both comedians. For me, I'm actually not a comedian. I am a behind-the-scenes person, and I was really passionate about creating this kind of youth opportunity, but I didn't have the connections that I, you know, that sort of thing. So Ethan is great because we balance each other out perfectly. I'm the more logistical person and he's the creative person. And so we kind of had applications. Five comedians that Ethan had worked with came on board. And the kind of most important thing for us is that hopefully none of them have to pay a cent to be involved. So, you know, there's a lot of costs that come with a comedy show. Venue, registration, filming, you know, headshots and videography, kind of like creative development and guest comedians. We've tried to kind of bundle up a package of things that can help you take the next step in comedy and kind of leap over that financial barrier and that kind of logistical barrier of doing everything yourself.
That's incredible. It's making it more accessible to kind of
get
to that next stage. Definitely, I'd say. Beautiful. And I was going to ask, of the five comedians, how did you find, I know that Ethan had some connections, but how did you go about narrowing it down to the five stellar faces you've got?
I thought you were going to say which one's the funniest.
I actually am, and you have to say Marley, given that he is right next to you right now.
Well, I mean, maybe I glossed it up before. We only had 5 applications, so 5 lucky people that we have. But,
easy.
You know, it was a word-of-mouth thing. We're hoping to deliver it in the future and be like, get it out there and meet lots of new people. But for this year, it was like, yeah, he went out to the best people he knew, and the people who were available came forward. And I'm so happy. Like, everyone's so funny. I kind of like, because I didn't know any of their comedy, I was kind of like, I hope they're funny. And then we had a rehearsal in December where we got to see their work in progress shows. And I was like, yes, like, we have something good here. So, yeah. It's
must have been
great.
A relief to find out, like, oh, God, they're actually funny, thank God.
I wasn't too worried. But, yeah, and I think especially, like, we wanted to have, like, a really diverse group. Like, I'm a queer disabled person myself, and I want to see more people like me in comedy. And we have... It's great to kind of be on the festival website and to kind of... I see a lot of lineups on Instagram and that sort of thing. It's like, there's a lot of men in comedy. It's not easy for women to get into comedy, and we've got, like, 4 women in our show out of 5. That makes me be like... Hi, I'm a man and I respect women. But no, I'm just like, really, I love seeing that, and I hope like other young people will see that and be like, that's so exciting, I want to come along.
Oh, it's incredible. It's really good stuff.
No, totally. And I think I'll just bounce off that for both of you, because I imagine it's different feeling and different, I guess, importance for what the show stands for and what it does mean for the future. What does it mean for both of you? And what does it feel like to be a part, I guess, of this as it's emerging and getting bigger?
Well, I think from the shows that I've been a part of in the past, sort of like 80% of the effort goes towards producing the actual show, and then I've got 20% effort left to write it. And so this is kind of really great and sets a new precedent, because it's like I can put all that 100% energy into making it the best half hour possible and don't have to worry about any of the other stuff. And it's also sort of a way around the traditional trajectory, which is like... you do class clowns and then, or, you know, raw comedy, and then you just are supposed to do a solo show that's now an hour long. And then if you win an award, you might get management or something from that, which is a bit of just, they're like, write a 3-minute set and then just do like hour 15.
So, easy jump.
Yeah. So this is fantastic, because I think it's really important to just add another sort of rung in the ladder to climb, which makes it a lot easier, I think. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I personally was really ambitious. It's the biggest scale project I've ever worked on. But at first I was like to Ethan, I was like, we're going to have 10 comedians. We're going to like, let's like get an international person involved. Let's like, what can we do to create these opportunities? And he was like, what if we like start small? And I was like, okay. And I think we didn't start as small as I anticipated. 5 people is a lot to manage. I think it's a great sweet spot, I think. But yeah, it means a lot to me. I work like... in the youth sector, and I really am passionate about creating opportunities for young people, especially like social opportunities. I think people are feeling really lonely and isolated at the moment, and to come out into a room of people your age and see people your age with like very silly Gen Z kind of comedy styles, like telling jokes that really resonate with you, I think it's really great. And yeah, I hope to kind of, you know, create a fun night out for people to like meet and to be in this amazing kind of safe space where people are trying out comedy for the first time,
this
long-form comedy. It's also a bit scary because I'm 21 and I still feel like a teenager. So when I'm like emailing reviewers or producers, I'm like, I don't have the... like, I'm not allowed to do this. Like, who gave me an email account? But, you know, it's great responses. I think that people are really excited for the show. There's a lot of interest building. And yeah, I hope I can take it into the future and kind of be a part of the youth programs that the festival offers. As this, like Marley said, it's that rung in the ladder. It's 2 comedians doing 25 minutes each. So it's kind of, yeah, a bit more accessible in that way of, it's still long form and you get to work in that new format, but it is only 25 minutes. So
yeah.
It's a bit easier to get into before you start those hour-long shows.
I think you hit it on the head there, having, I guess, the new generation of Gen Z in particular. Comedians come on their way up and kind of step up and hopefully become the next big comedians that we see everywhere. I'm sure it's the same for you guys, but I still get a little bit annoyed when I see the same comedians from like 20 years ago still kind of being in the spotlight with the same jokes they were using 20 years ago. I shouldn't name names, but for example, people like Rove and Dave Hughes, who have been doing it for ages, but their comedy style is that of a while ago, and it does start to get a little bit, not stale, but we want to see new faces, we want to see new people come up, and it's definitely been, I think it's a good idea to see those new faces come up without the challenges that a lot of them have faced. Even the like the bigger millennial names are still hitting those walls with companies like ABC and so on. I know it's the biggest, I guess, not youth group. They're not really a youth group, but Auntie Donna, for example, they had a recent television show on Netflix and they got bumped back from ABC because their comedy was too alternative. So it's great to see this being pushed. And we'll talk about it more, I think, in the next break. But we're going to go into our next song for the moment. And if you're like me and Annabelle, you're thinking, gimme, gimme, gimme. We want to hear more wonderful songs and more wonderful, I guess, advice and more wonderful stories. So you'll have to stick around and listen to that one. But here is Gimme by Nick Ward. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin.
That was Dancing in Babylon. Babylon,
you'll
sorry. I got there eventually. It took a bit. By MGMT featuring Christine and the Queens. So it's a new song released as part of MGMT's new album, Loss of Life. And you've definitely heard of MGMT. They're an American rock band formed in 2002. If you haven't heard of them, you've been living under a rock, but welcome back. You know, the sky is blue. It's very nice up here. And we've also got Christine and the Queens featuring in that. And he is a French singer and songwriter. Before that, you heard Gimme by Nick Ward. And speaking of Gimme, give me more interview content with the lovely Marley and Dylan. Welcome back to the show.
Great to be here.
There you go. It's been nice the past few minutes hanging out with you off air. I wanted to ask Marley, how did you start your career as a comedian?
So I actually had a bit of an unconventional start. I signed up for a competition called Class Clowns, and then we went into lockdown like the day I signed up. So I never actually got to do it the first year. And then in lockdown, I started stand-up over Zoom.
That's a scary one.
Yeah, and I did... I was doing comedy gigs all around the world, so like America, Europe and stuff, because you could kind of... All the comedy clubs are on Zoom everywhere, so you could kind of go anywhere. And I kind of forgot about school a little bit, and I was doing like 8 10-minute spots per day, and I was like 4 a.m., 3 a.m., 2 p.m., just like random times on Zoom, and it was very rough. And then, you know, when lockdown ended and I could go and do Class Clowns for the first time, I kind of had a little bit of an advantage because I'd done that before. And then I was like, oh, you can actually hear people laughing now. It's great. I'm not just a crazy person just talking into like Zoom. So this is fantastic. So, yeah.
I have to know, with Zoom interviews, do you still get heckled much? Or is that as awkward as it sounds?
You do. The most awkward part is muting them. Because you've still got to look at them and then they're sort of mouthing and then they get really angry. Like, you know, they're yelling, but like you've muted them. And then sometimes you can unmute them and just hear, and then mute them again just for the fun of it. So that does have its own entertaining qualities as well.
It'd be nice if you could actually mute hecklers in real life.
Yeah.
Invent a little remote. Have you had any run-ins with hecklers with your live performances?
I often ask people to heckle or just ask open questions because I feel like that's a fun way. I often do it at the top of a show to get the heckle out so that they, you know, I want to get to them before they get to me. So, you know, like just who goes to a public or private school is a fun one because public school, I went to a public school and, you know, we're really passionate about public schools and then private school students are always really passionate about, you know, that's the best way. So it's sort of like, not division, but like things that stir so that they, you know, they are very loud about it and they get that out of them quickly. Yeah.
No, definitely.
And talking about actually going to school, you're talking about your school experience in your show Life Hacks at Pilot. Can you kind of give us the inspiration behind the set?
Yeah. So I've done a lot of kind of material on school in the past. And I just finished year 12 and it was a very crazy year. So this is sort of like a timeline from the start of year 12 to graduating and all the crazy stuff that happened in between that I'm not sure my school would love me talking about, but I'm going to anyway. So that's what it is. It's sort of the things that you can't, that people don't tell you that you can't say.
We also found out after we got Marley involved that, like, my mum works at his school. So I was like, Leonie, tell me, like, what's the download on Marley? Is he a good kid?
The librarian. Yeah, what was the feedback on me being a good kid?
You were good. Yeah,
okay, that's good to know.
I have to imagine the librarian has just as many stories. Is there a connection there? You, like, call each other every now and then. Hey, have you got anything you remember? I'm out of stories.
Not really. It was such a weird connection as well because I think... did they start recently? I think it was like in the past couple of years. And there was, like, lockdown and stuff. So I don't actually know them that well, but it was, like, just, like, a very weird connection of place that's, like...
Yeah.
But if you don't respond to my emails, like, last year when you were in school, I could, like, send my mum to go and find and be like, this is the message.
I do remember your mum said, because for Louis and Ethan's show that you produced last year, they had, what was it, like...
They had, like, nightcaps. It was, about dreaming.
Nightcaps. And your mum said, I knitted those. If you want, I can knit anything you want for your show. Just let me know and I will knit it. And I was like, I'm going to jump on this opportunity at some point.
That is so sweet. I feel like you should have Leonie. Is that your mum's name, Leonie?
Yeah.
Leonie should be part of the set next
year. She
should
be in here. Like,
I think so. It's kind of rude you didn't bring her in, actually.
Right? Yeah.
Leonie, come on the show. We'd love to hear all about having Marley at school. But I wanted to ask, I've heard you say that you kind of sometimes just write down your ideas in your notes at Marley and you kind of leave them there to sort out later. Do you have anything really strange you've ever found in your notes app? I feel like we all find very out of context things. What's the weirdest thing?
Oh, what's the weirdest thing I have in my notes app? I have a lot of just, like, phrases in my notes app that I know what they mean, but if other people... Like, I create a new note before I give people my phone.
Smart.
Because
<You know?
laughs> I don't want them to see, like, what was the story from last year's show that you mentioned before? Uber driver, like, kidnapped by an Uber driver or something, just in there, and then just words in it, like, pump it up by Endor or something. Just, like, little bits for the joke or taglines that I often think of. Sometimes I think of a really horrific tagline and then put it in my notes app and, like, in the joke it sounds great, but on its own it's, like, cancelable. So, like, I think when the Taylor Swift concert was going on and I was walking through the city, I was, like, typing down things that I saw that were, like, observations that were, like, that could be a bit, but then I was like, if someone read this, it just looks like, it looks really bad. So.
You have to give, like, a PSA when you hand your phone over.
Yes,
don't read into it too much.
Yeah.
I feel like that's very fair. We all have very strange things in our notes apps. If anyone saw mine, I just feel like I'd have to live under a rock, basically. Mm. But what's been your favourite thing of working with the pilot team? What's your favourite part of the show that's coming up? What can listeners expect to hear? Kind of a free part question right there.
Well, I actually have the benefit of, I've worked with everyone from pilot before, except for, I think, Dylan, I think, because I met Ethan, who's another producer, on my first ever set doing stand-up. We did Class Clowns, and then I also met, I met everybody else between my first and third set doing stand-up, because we were all from that Class Clowns competition. And we all got on really well then, so it's just, and we went and did the Art Centre shows, and then we're coming to do this, so it's just sort of like a full circle moment of, like, we all were very nervous doing, like, our 5-minute sets, and it's like, we're the remaining ones, you know, out of all the people that signed up to Class Clowns. These are the only people that I see who are still kind of doing stand-up since then, so it's kind of a full circle moment that we're now able to... do this sort of crazy half-hour split bill show together since then. So, yeah, it's just been great to work with everyone again.
No, definitely. And I think we'll start to wrap up, but I do have to know, who are some of your comedic influences and maybe some of your favourite comedians, especially growing up?
I like a guy from the UK called Mo Gilligan. He talks a lot about his family, comes from sort of a black British sort of roadman family, and does like impressions of his teachers and his mum and his siblings. And also, I think Nurse Georgie Carroll is also a great one. She's a comedian from the UK who sort of talks about nursing stories and stuff. And I think the sort of the thing with that is I love comedians who talk about their own personal experience and tell their own stories rather than like talk about a topic. Like that's what I love to watch, is just comedians saying, here's a funny thing that happened in my childhood, and just expressing that. Yeah.
No, totally. And as I said, we are going to have to wrap up, but we have to know, what can people expect from your show? Maybe just a, obviously not a joke or anything like that, but maybe just an idea of what they can expect.
Yeah, so I think lots of pyrotechnics, obviously, and a fly system. I will be flying through the ceiling at
like
points.
Pink at a concert?
Yep, confetti cannons, fireworks at the end, I think, is the... Yeah,
yeah, my mum's almost finished your costume.
Oh, that's good, that's good. Because we ran out of sequins, but yeah. So we just threw some glitter on there to make it work. Yeah.
Is it knitted confetti or...?
I wish,
knitted
I wish.
Pyrotechnics.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Pilot is running from Wednesday, the 27th of March, to Monday, 1st of April. Very fitting to have it end on April Fool's Day, I will say. And Marley, you're performing on the Wednesday night alongside Patty Fawcett, and on the Friday night alongside Emma Armitage Ho. Where can people go to get more information on you, Marley, and also on Pilot itself?
Well, you can find Pilot on Instagram at Pilot Comedy, same on TikTok. We haven't started posting on there yet, but we will very
it's
soon.
It's tricky to do so.
Yeah, now that we've hit March, it's go time. And on Facebook, Pilot Comedy does an event. And on the Melbourne International Comedy Festival website as well. So those are all the places you can find us.
Beautiful.
You definitely check them out.
And Marley, what are your socials if people want to follow along?
You can find me on Instagram at Marley Hawk and on YouTube, Marley Hawk as well.
Nice and simple. Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us in the studio today. It's been lovely to have you in and hear all about Pilot, a youth-led kind of lineup of five amazing young comedians who will be playing at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Definitely. But with that, we are going to dive into our next song. And just like this interview, unfortunately, we are reaching the end of it. Here is The End of It by Friday Pilots Club. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin.
That was Buzzard Melted by Pancho and the Wizards, a psych rock band from Slow County, California. Before that, you heard End of It by Friday Pilots Club, and unfortunately, it's true, we have reached the end of it. It being Get Serial Monday, it has been so much fun welcoming in the week with my lovely Bianca, as well as our two incredible guests, Dylan McBurney and Marley Hawk, who are both here to talk about Pilot, the newest comedy show gracing the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. It was a delight to have them in and to talk to you all about all things Madam Web, Monday News, and getting serial with you all. As always, you can find us at Get Serial Sin on Instagram and on Get Serial Sin on TikTok, where we do post every so often. You can also find us in podcast form at all the best podcast platforms. We're talking Google, OmniFM, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. If they have good podcasts, I promise we are there. It has been a great show, and you will catch us on the airwaves on Friday from 8 to 10 a.m., same time, same place. We look forward to having you in there, where we will be talking to another incredible group. Have a great day. Your next song is Blood of My Blood by Matt and the Knife. After that, Lysergic Reason by Uzo. Enjoy.